Let's pray together. God, we thank you for all the things that we just sung about. As we remember around 2,000 years ago how you came to this earth and became a human. And you identified with us in our weakness and in our humanity. And you took the form of a servant. And you served us to such a degree that you were willing to die for us because of our sin guilt. You took that, Jesus. You took that upon yourself, and you carried that burden on that cross, and you paid our sin debt to all who would believe on you. And God, that gift is just so incredible. The gift of Christmas, the gift of Easter, it's the gift of the God who created everything. It's so amazing. And we just worship you this morning because of that. It's incredible that you would reach down from heaven and touch us. While we were sinners, you died for us, and you loved us in this amazing way. And so we just praise you, and we thank you for your amazing love. And we pray that you would continue just to stir our hearts towards you during this service, and may you be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may have a seat. And we do this every Sunday. It's been one of the best things that we've done in our worship service, one of the best changes that we've made. About a year or so ago, we implemented a time in our worship service where we take 5 minutes and we just give the opportunity for all of you, for all of us, to pray. And you can take this 5 minutes however you want to use it. You can pray with someone next to you. You can pray in a larger group, look around and get into a group and pray. You can pray by yourself. If there's some prompts up on the screens, if you're like, I don't know what to pray about today, here's a few things that you can do to interact in relationship with God. And if you don't know where to start, just talk to God like he's right here in this room, because he is. We believe in the omnipresence of God. That means he's everywhere. We believe in his omniscience. He knows everything, even down to your thoughts. And so God is hearing your heart. He knows where you're at this morning. And so, once again, however you want to use this 5 minutes, this is for you. I would encourage you, whether it's confessing sin, thanking God, worshiping him, asking him to work in your heart today, bringing you closer to him. If you want to use scripture as a guide to open up a Bible, there should be some Bibles scattered underneath your seats, or you can take out your phone, Bible app, and look at Psalm 63 there. And let's just take this 5 minutes and let's pray. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful once again for the way you've revealed yourself to us. Thank you that we have, all of us who believe in the name of Jesus Christ and the work that Jesus did on the cross to save sinners like us from our sins, that we might have the gift of eternal life, Lord. We have relationship with you. What an incredible blessing, God, that we can have a conversation with you, and that this relationship is going to last, it's going to be everlasting. Beyond death. And this is our hope. And you're such a great and wonderful God to reveal these beautiful things to us and these very precious promises. So, God, we thank you and we worship you because you are holy. You are creator. You are our God. You're our Savior. And as we sung about, you're our Lord, our Master. And so, God, I pray in this time now for the rest of our service, Lord, that we would be compelled to put ourselves underneath your authority. You being God and us being your creation, Lord, your word says that you are the potter and we are the clay. And so, God, we pray, Lord, that you would find us to be moldable this morning. God, that we wouldn't be a hardened lump of clay in your hands, but that we would be impressionable, that we would be willing to allow you to have a work in us, that we would be even inviting that and asking for it. And so, God, turn our hearts towards you in that way, that we might submit ourselves to you. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move and work however you desire. And we thank you for doing it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, once again, so glad to see you all this morning. And we just want to highlight some announcements that are going to be happening, some things in the life of our church. Today, obviously, is we're going to, some of the, what we're highlighting today is the credentialing celebration for Josh and myself, and we're excited about that. Yeah, that's going to be happening, yeah. Josh and I so appreciate all of your support and prayers over these, in my case, many years. In Josh's case, just a couple. But we're also going to be celebrating downstairs after the service. So shortly after the service, we're all going to try. I know our habit is to hang out here and chat up here, which is awesome. I love that. But let's all try to make it downstairs as soon as we can. Because I think specifically the kitchen crew is like, well, we're not starting until Josh and Kevin get down there and they're served first, so which is awkward for us, but that's okay. We'll do it. So that's today. Downstairs in our fellowship hall, we'll have a little party, some pizza, cake, and some other things. Also, this Saturday, we want to invite you back to the church for our Christmas party. We're going to just have a time of celebration. It's going to be bring a dish to share with each other, bring a casserole or a side dish or a dessert. I won't blame you if you bring extra Christmas cookies. That would be no problem if you want to do that, or some special Christmas ice cream. That would be fine with me. That's Saturday from 4 to 8. We'd love to have you bring a board game, bring some musical instruments. This is just a time we're just going to hang out and have some fun together. And then next Sunday, a week from today, our kids ministry is going to be up here right after the service to practice for the following Sunday, the 22nd, which is our Christmas pageant. So we're excited about that. It's always so much fun to see the kids up here dressed in the Nativity story. And so we're going to have that in just a couple weeks, but next week is practice right after service. And also, it's not on here, but don't forget about our Christmas Eve candlelight service. That is just a very special service. It's always just a packed house, just a great time where we can worship our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. And so that's December 24th at 6 p.m. So at this time, we have one special thing to do before I call up friends, Carrie Doyle and Brian Rathbun, who are both here today as just dear mentors in my life for 10 plus years. And they have meant just incredibly, just an incredible amount to me. And and my family, and you guys have been such a blessing. But before I introduce them and welcome them up, we have something extremely special from the standpoint of 2 weeks ago, we voted for Sean Weigel to become an elder at this church. And unanimous, of course, Sean to be an elder. And part of the reason, so what is an elder? You know, just briefly, an elder is a pastor. And there are seven of us elders here at this church. And so I might be the senior pastor, but there are seven pastors that you have at this church. And that's a really cool thought, isn't it? That you don't just have one pastor or two pastors, Josh being our other paid staff pastor at Wheatland Church here. You have seven pastors. And we are all praying for you. We all dearly love you and care for you. And so that's what an elder is. They pastor the church. They guard the flock, as the church is called often in Scripture. And so let me just share with you the requirements to be an elder, because I think this is significant. It's no small task. This is what an elder must be from Titus chapter 1. An elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, with faithful children who are not accused of wildness or rebellion. As an overseer of God's house, he must be blameless, not arrogant, not hot-tempered, not an excessive drinker, not a bully, not greedy for money, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, righteous, holy, self-controlled, holding to the faithful message as taught, so that he will be able both to encourage with sound teaching and to refute those who contradict it. That's a really big list. Anyone want to be scrutinized to that list? Right? That's challenging. But here we have a man who we have discerned is following accordingly and who God has approved in this way. And so we want to invite not only Sean, but all the other elders up. One of our elders is missing. Mark Ferentino is down in Louisiana this morning, so we miss him. But all of our other elders, if you guys could come on up, we're just going to... So there's a biblical description in the book of Acts where a number of times we see it. We also see it in Paul's writings too, where there's this idea of laying hands on someone. And it's not anything mystical. There's no, like, you know, special, like, power that we have. This is a symbol of that God has appointed Sean for this work of pastoral ministry. And so as we lay our hands on Sean, that is what that symbolizes, that God has anointed him and called him into this ministry. And so it's a very significant thing. So we want to invite your hearts to join ours as we pray for Sean. And so I'll pray, and then maybe Josh, you want to pray as well, and then we'll gather around Sean here. All right. God, we give you praise and thanks for Sean and his family. And we thank you for how you have been working in his heart in such wonderful ways, drawing him closer and closer to you. You've opened his eyes to his need for you many, many years ago, and how he's turned from the ways of his flesh and sin, and you've brought him into your truth, and you've given him a deep love for your truth. And I just so thank you and I praise you for Sean's heart and how you have worked in it. And God, we just thank you for what you're going to do in his life and through his life as an elder. And we ask that you would prepare him for this work. You have been preparing him. Lord, anoint him for this, Lord. We ask that you would strengthen him in the days ahead, as there's going to be challenges, as there's going to be tough decisions that we have to make, and there's going to be counseling situations and conversations, times where he might not feel like stepping up into the calling, but where he will anyways, because you've called him to it. And I pray that you would strengthen his legs, his hands, his mind, his heart, and that you would be glorified through it all. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Lord, we do give you thanks for this man that's standing next to us, Lord, that you have called him forth out of so many men, Lord, that you could have called forth. And I think of 1 Timothy 3, and it says that anybody that desires to be an overseer, an elder, that it's a noble task. And Sean, that is what the Lord has put on your heart to be an elder, to be an overseer. And this is a noble task that he's called you forth. Doesn't mean it's easy by any means at all. There's going to be times where you have to stand up because you know that God's word is the truth and that you need to stand forth and put that forth. So, Lord, I just pray over Sean. I thank you that you have brought him, that you have pulled him forth, that he is a role model, not only in his family, that he's leading his family well, his wife and kids, Lord, but that also that you've called him forth to be a leader in this church. And, Lord, I just pray over the confidence that he needs, the support that he needs amongst all the elders, Lord, and that you'll continue to work in his life, Lord, and that if there's things in his life that need to be called out, that just as all of us, Lord, that we will all be obedient to your word and listen to you, listen to each other, Lord. I know that you're calling us to be accountable to each other, calling us to be accountable to the church, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that we are here together, not as individuals, but as a team, as a family. And Lord, we all don't think the same, we all don't see the same, but that's a blessing. And so, Lord, we just pray for continuity over all of us, and we thank you for the differences that we have as well, and that you are strengthening us through your word and through your love that you've given each of us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Well, we praise God for Sean, and we praise God for all of our elders. Of course, Josh, Eric, Dan, and Mark, and also Aaron Howard, who also is home with a sick child. So we give God praise for you guys. Yeah, we can clap. Absolutely. So at this time now, I have just the blessing and the privilege to call up Carrie Doyle and Brian too. Or
yes,
okay, Brian, come on up. Yeah, Carrie Doyle is our EFCA Allegheny Region District Superintendent. Say that 10 times fast. He's been in this role for many years now, and he's perfect for it. The Lord has talked about appointing and anointing and commissioning. Carrie is a gifted man. And, of course, wouldn't be able to do it nearly half as well without Robin, of course.
Amen.
So, absolutely there. Yeah, all the women say amen.
our 40th anniversary was last Sunday, so we've made it 40 years in 1 week
praise
and going.
God.
So, yeah.
Praise God. That's good. Well, I'll let Carrie and Brian do all the talking. Brian, though, has been a pastor in the EFCA in the Rochester area for 40 years or so. I mean, it's been you started young. 42 years,
wow.
Brian's been a pastor.
Amen.
These guys, I've had the privilege of sitting under these guys as mentors. They have poured into me, and I just can't thank you guys enough. So I praise God for you, and thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Brian, come on up. And Kevin and Josh, stay handy for us. In fact, Josh, would you come up here and join us as well at this time? It is just an honor to be with you folks. And in God's good providence, too, to be here, not just for this day, but in this tender time as your church is going through a transition. And so we celebrate with you without reservation about the timing of this and the celebration. And Brian has been such a great mentor. I call Brian the dean of my New York pastors. And he serves and oversees and encourages and edifies and trains and particularly walks through the guys as they're going through ordination and the licensing process. And he doesn't make it easy, but he tries to make their burden light a little bit. But so I've asked Brian if he would speak first, and then I'll share some time. So you have that microphone handy for him? Thank you.
It's not that I make it hard.
Oh,
it is hard.
It is hard.
Right?
It's work.
You're dealing with the Word of God. There are warnings to people who do that. It's important for them to know the gospel and speak the truth. And it's important that they know how to do that with a precision and a refinement that you can see in their lives and hear in their preaching. And when you hear it, you can say, yes,
amen.
That's God, and I'm in, right? I'm going to obey, I'm going to follow, I'm going to be here, this is where I'm taught. And the AFCA has designed a process, and it is not easy to be a part of. It isn't. There's no DEI in our process. You have to qualify to be ordained as a pastor. You have to be male. And you have to step up to a theological precision and level that most people never reach. Because they have to be able to understand the Word of God and the theological concepts that are entertained there, and they have to be able to speak it in a way that you can understand, relate to, and live out. That's not easy. It isn't. And if we in the EFCA in any way lighten, soften, make simpler that process, we would be doing our churches and each of you here no favors. The good news is that we didn't do that for either Kevin or Josh. And it's not because I made it hard. It's because the Bible has a lot to say, and it needs to be said well. And for any of you who are here for their ordination council, they both did exceptionally well.
Amen.
They studied to show themselves approved. And in a council that asked them some very difficult things and asked them to refine their answers and to be specific about certain theological concepts, they were able, because of their study and their work and their writing, to do that very well. And it's a thrill and an honor, not just for me, but for all of us to be here today and to recognize what they did for the Church of Jesus Christ, the EFCA in particular, and any church that God calls them to in the future. And so, with all of that said as background, I just want to say this. I want to read this from 2 Timothy chapter 4. You can join me there if you want, or I'll read it to you. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. It says this: in the presence of God, and this is for all of you, but Josh and Kevin, to you two in particular, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I now give you this charge. And this is Paul to Timothy, obviously. But this is Brian to Kevin and to Josh as well, and Jesus to Kevin and Josh as well. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. What that means is when it feels like the right thing, when it seems like the right thing, and even when it doesn't. Preach the word. It's necessary in our society. It's necessary in our churches. It's necessary if you're called to do something for a teacher's meeting or in the town hall. Preach the word in season and out. Correct those who are mistaken. That I threw in that last phrase. Rebuke, which would mean those who are obstinate, rebuke them. Encourage those who are trying but don't understand. Again, my just addition there. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You too, keep a clear mind. Keep your head. You know the gospel. You proved it to us. That was an arduous process we put you through. And you stood into it, and you were able to divide the word of God clearly and and speak it clearly to us. And we know that you can do that. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, because if you declare that word, you will face them. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. If I can put it into one phrase for both of you, wherever you go, wherever God sends you, however long he gives you on this earth, preach the word. That is what you studied for. That is what you have been called to do. That is what you so well defended.
Amen. Brian, you just proved preachers got to preach, don't they? I feel very light after what you just said. I want to tell you about a Norman Rockwell painting. That leads us back into the Word. I love Norman Rockwell, and you're probably familiar with the picture. It's called Before the Shot. Could you scoot over a little bit? I'm getting...
Yeah, it's
all right.
How long are you going? Can we sit down?
After what you just did. Okay. Thank you, Dean. So Norman Rockwell has this painting, and there's a little boy standing in a chair, and he's getting ready to get a shot, and the doctor's over at the desk getting the shot ready, and the little boy's looking at something on the wall. And it's the doctor's credential. It's his license to practice medicine. This little boy wants to know, does this guy have the skill, the authority, the training to administer to me something that I may not like, but I need? I don't think I have to explain a whole lot more, but being a pastor, I will. Credentialing has those aspects of credibility, of responsibility, and accountability. And Brian has spelled out a lot of this very, very well. Let me put it another way. What do teachers, hairdressers, professional engineers, licensed tattoo artists, dental hygienists, CPAs, and certified mechanics all have in common? There's an outside source that has tested them and assessed them as competent to be proved to do their roles. And they are then certified and licensed and held accountable for ongoing credibility and character and skills to do that job. And so when people say, oh, ordination doesn't matter, can someone do the ministry without being ordained? Well, sure. Yes, of course. But when we know someone has gone through this process, it's almost like a professional engineering having that stamp that can sign those papers, can put his emboss of a set of blueprints, and you go, oh, okay, I know what is behind that seal. They did all these things to be trained and certified. They're held accountable. In fact, if they mess up, this seal is taken from them. They're no longer allowed to approve plans for engineering or cut hair or other than prison tats. Otherwise, it breaks down there. So does ordination, is it necessary? Of course not. But does it matter? It does matter. And so your local church starts this process of saying, yes, we approve that these men ought to move forward in this process. And then the district steps in and says, we will be a part of this. And we gather a team to lead you, to feed you, to guide you, to correct you, and then assess you. Books were read, papers were written, a council was endured and enjoyed. And then it's submitted to the National Evangelical Free Church for final approval. And then this very last step before we get to celebrate what God has and is doing in you and then through you. And so we thank God for that opportunity. So it doesn't stop with this today. There is ongoing accountability and support as well as your engagement to now do this and support others in the process as well. So that little boy can take some comfort in seeing the doctor was certified. And this, the analogy only goes so far, but some ministry is delivering a shot and watching after the well-being of people so they can grow up and move along and do what God has called them to do. So we just rejoice with you guys in this process. We are going to ask their ladies would join them and that the elders of the church would come up and join us as well as we would lay hands on them and pray for them. And as they're coming up, I want to read some verses from 2 Timothy as well, Paul's letter. We'll be in 2 Timothy in just a little bit in my sermon as well. So 2 Timothy, various verses. Follow the pattern of sound words you have heard from me in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me, Paul said, and we would say, and spiritual mentors would say, in the presence of a lot of people, witnesses, entrust this to faithful men so they will be able to teach others. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Do yourself to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker need not be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in wisdom, preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. Be ready, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. We just thank God. You guys are a strong ministry team. We just affirm God's obvious calling on you guys in ministry.
Sorry, I switched on.
That's okay. It's all right.
You didn't want to hold my hand. That's
right.
I figured you'd prefer a Chris.
He loves this. And we just love you guys. I've known you guys almost 12 years. Yeah. We watched you grow up. We were reflecting again last night of just as I was a pastor in the district, and we'd go to pastors and wives conferences and time together, and how God was working in you then, and how God has worked in you, brought so much more growth and maturity. What a ministry team the two of you are. That's what makes the announcement hard. I understand that. But we just rejoice how God has used this church as well. You have been blessed by this church. You have blessed this church. And we, as a free church, just gladly acknowledge the work you've done to be ordained to gospel ministry, to be licensed, and then processed to pursue ordination by God's will, and to go on in serving him. A few couples would come together, a few other folks would come, and let's lay hands on them, and let's pray together. Whoever would like to pray, and I'll close our time in prayer. Here's the microphone.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for just the work that you've done in Josh and Chrissy's life to bring them to this point, to just grow them up and to just transform their hearts and to a willing heart to serve you, Lord, and to serve your church. I just pray that you would just continue to grow them as they go on from here and pursue whatever it is your will for them, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for Kevin and Jennifer, Lord, and the work that you've done in them. I thank you for the honor that I've had and that, you know, all of us have had to sit under Kevin as our pastor, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just bless him and Jennifer and their family and their pursuit, Lord. And I pray that they would continue to just seek you, Lord, and all that they do. And I pray that you would just bless them, Lord. And we give glory and praise for all of this to you.
Lord, I thank you for Josh and Kevin as brothers, as friends, as fellow overseers. So many times in life, Lord, we have fortunate enough to maybe have one amazing pastor in our lives who makes such a difference in our families. And we've been blessed with two amazing pastors, and I thank you for how they've poured into me personally and to my family and my children. I know we often think of big events like this as a finish line, something that we've accomplished and worked so hard towards. We know there's ultimately only one finish line, Lord, when the day you call us home and you say,
Well done. Amen. Good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Thank you for both of these guys who've stepped up into an extremely heavy, difficult, crazy, amazing calling. And we thank you for their wives and their children who we're blessed to have and do life together with as well. So we continue to pray protection over their families, over them personally. We pray for strength and encouragement. We pray that they would continue to walk by your Spirit, to live by your word, wherever it is that you call them, and whatever it is that you would have them do, Lord. So we thank you for who they are. We thank you for what you've instilled in them. We thank you for their commitment. And we just pray blessings on them. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Lord, we do thank you for both Josh and Kevin and their desire to follow you and serve you and to be able to minister to your church here at Wheatland. And we just pray for them going forward that, Lord, you move people where you want them, where you need them. And we just pray that both Josh and Kevin would continue to be faithful to you and serve you with their lives and to help encourage, build up, and minister to your children where you would have them, and that they would be fully serving you with their lives. And so we thank you for their commitment and their desire to do so. We pray that you would mightily use them to accomplish your will on this earth before you return. And we love them, and we thank you for the ability to be able to have worked alongside them, continuing with Josh, and we just pray that you would go with Kevin and Jennifer where you were calling them to accomplish your will. And so we thank you, Lord, for your working in this and for the blessings we have had from them, and that you would continue to work through them in the future. So we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, whenever they preach your word, grant them clarity of thought, we pray. Grant to them the power of your Holy Spirit as they declare the word whenever it is that they preach. That's our request in the name of Jesus.
We thank you, Almighty God, for your gifts and callings. We commend this fellowship, these families to you with great joy in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. 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 All right, guys, stay here for the official giving of these certificates and pictures. You can stay, ladies. You can stay. If we're going to take pictures, we need somebody nice in the picture.
Brian,
you thought. Brian, I need you up here as well. Sorry. Here's your ministry license, my friend. You have. We don't just give these out glibly. We give them out gladly. Congratulations. This one still needs a few more signatures. Brian will need to sign it, and a couple of other folks in the church. But Kevin, these aren't just paid for, but you paid for it with blood, sweat, and tears. And we are honored as a district, as the Free Church, as the fruit of this church. You're not just your ministry to Kevin, Kevin's ministry to you, but your ministry to Kevin and Jennifer. It's been your evident growth in the gospel. Just clear. Your prayers this morning. Brother, congratulations. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Who's got cameras? We need some pictures here.
Okay. take them out. This is time.
Go ahead.
Who's first?
Yeah.
Robin?
Make sure you get the. Come by, stand over here for us. Not more
can
vain.
I,
sure.
I
sure.
All right, hang on.
It's heavy. Stop talking.
You have four preachers. Stop talking. How does that work? Hang on. Here we go. Share those with the appropriate people.
One,
who's one more? Oh, sorry. Here we go. We're gonna start charging after this. All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Take your time.
Our junior church. You guys have been patiently waiting, so you can head down to our junior church. Appreciate you guys sharing this moment with us.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. With the Amen. Amen. We are going to be in 2 Timothy today. It is a very tender letter that Paul is writing at a very tender time of transition in life, as in he is facing death. As I listened to this passage again the other day, this book, and that's an appropriate way to read your Bible. If you have a Bible app, let it talk to you. Turn it on and just listen to the whole, you can listen to a whole book and the flow of it. And I was reminded as I listened to 2 Timothy in thinking of the context of this morning, and it's an honor to be with you guys again, guys and gals again, that Paul often is writing to churches as he is in pastoral transition. Either he or he's announcing that the person he's left behind is about to be in a transition in the pastoring going on. Paul would go to a community often, start a church, stay there for a while, and then he'd get, I'd call that evangelical entrepreneurial itch of church planting. You know, gotta go, I need to go share the gospel elsewhere. And he'd leave behind a Timothy, a Titus, another brother to help equip the saints there. And they would stay there weeks, months, years. And then there'd be a point to where those brothers who had helped establish the church would move on to the next ministry as they had raised up leaders and seen them grow and to develop to where they could be a healthy church and could survive the transition of beloved pastors. So it was interesting for me to re-see and re-hear this text this morning in light of your context here these weeks ahead. Paul's he's awaiting death. He knows. He's in a cold Roman prison. He's asking, he needs a coat. He's cold. He'd like some books to read. He wants the scriptures to be brought to him. He's lonely. He's been abandoned by people. He's in a tough spot. I'm always struck by, what does it look like the end of a successful ministry? And Paul says, well, you might end up cold, lonely, in a prison cell, begging for people to come visit you and you're being abandoned by some of your closest companions. That might be how the end of a ministry life looks. But as someone said, there's one final finish ground. Was that Sean? One of the brothers that prayed this morning. That's finishing well with Jesus. So the context is this. Paul, that is where Paul is writing to his beloved spiritual son, Timothy. And Timothy is a timid of a soul. He's often called timid Timothy, and he's being encouraged as he has been left there to do the work in this church. And he's saying, Timothy, my son. And I'm going to read for us 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, maybe through 15. And we're looking at the fact, and by the way, you've been given a set of notes when you came in You can proofread for my benefit and edification later, and hopefully it'll also benefit, edify you to follow along with the notes. Because just like Timothy needed to be strengthened by grace to fulfill his calling, Wheatland Community Church, receive the ongoing strengthening of God for you to continue the ministry and the calling God has for you here in this community, in this larger community, and around the world. Dependent upon, thankful for servants God has given you, dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ in ministering together. And this text will give us some encouragement of how to do that. Were the circumstances differently, I tell you that this morning I'm kind of preaching at you preachers. There you are. But I want you all to overhear this and apply it as well. I'm almost forgetting these guys today. Enough about them. This is to you, the saints at Wheatland, to hear this word. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I'm suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and charge them before God, not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Avoid irrelevant babble, for it will lead people to more and more ungodliness and spread like gangrene. An ominous, glorious, sober passage for us to receive. Let's ask God to teach us from his word that you, Wheatland Community Church, continue to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus for you to fulfill the ministry that God has for you till he comes back for us. Let's pray. Lord, in your sovereignty, we acknowledge the convergence of this moment, of celebrating our brothers in this church and their accomplishment, and then being reminded that pastors transition, but the ministry does not. And we thank you that you can strengthen us for your good work. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would attend to your word, and yes, even through me, to strengthen by grace this body for the ongoing ministry that you have called them to, not behind any man, but behind and with you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord. You are our rock and you are our Redeemer. Pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Wheatland, serve strong in the grace that's in Jesus. So what does that mean? Well, I've got some good news for you. It's right here in the text. You're used to this. I love the fact that you are a Bible church. You stay true to that. Your elders work well together. You guys keep walking together with Jesus. You're going to be fine. It will hurt. You will feel sad. be all kinds of emotions, but God, by his grace, will sustain you, and you can keep serving strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. First, and you've seen this done, it comes by entrusting others to entrust others to the gospel. Look at Paul. I love verse 2, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:2. What you've heard me say, Timothy, to all in all kinds of settings, to all kinds of people, I want you, Timothy, Paul, Timothy, to trust these to reliable men so they can also entrust it to other people. Look at the generations there. You got the others, the interested, the curious, the new in Christ. The last 2 days I've heard more than one story of people who, you know, hearing the gospel for a couple of years before they came to know the Lord. Was that Sean's story? No, it was, who's the old head elder here? Not Eric, the other old head. Aaron. He was here for 2 years before he came to know the Lord, right? Jim and Judy's story, same sort of thing, right? So there are the others that they need people who are watching. And when they come to know Jesus, they start serving Jesus and walking with Jesus. And they prove themselves faithful. And so you look out and say, wow, who's now emerged from the rank? Not just a kid in the youth group anymore, but a faithful young woman, a faithful young man. And you start entrusting them with ministries as you walk with them. And then you continue to call them up into further types of ministry. Hey, we'd love for you to be involved in the worship team. Help them with the youth group. Help them with a variety of things. Physical plant. That you've got gifts in these areas. And we'd love for you to be involved in that. And we walk with you. And we want you also in doing that to minister to the ones underneath you. And then you start to recognize some of these people that you go, wow, God's really got their hand on them. We can see you now serving in this role. So Paul, Timothy, the reliable ones, the others. Wheatland, you do this well. Don't lose track of that. In fact, you have a forced reminder of the necessity of this as a layer of leadership is being commissioned to a church in Connecticut. Let me just say this. I can give you a personal word. I agree with you. I love this guy. I'm going to miss him. I want him in my district. This stinks. But the more I learned about that church in Connecticut and their needs and talked with Kevin, and first I had this reaction, oh, no, uh-uh. And I learned more. I remember the conversation with them. We were riding somewhere some weekend back home from some ministry trip. And it was on the phone. They don't know. I started crying because I thought, Kevin not only is leaving, Kevin needs to go. That church needs Kevin. They need a Kevin. They need this Kevin. And you know, I've also thought, oh, good, Carrie, in the next few weeks, you'll be up there with Wheatland, and they're going to say, wait a minute, you were a part of this, and get run out of town again. So here we are, my last visit to Wheatland Community Church. I've spoken with some of you this morning and yesterday who've affirmed the same thing. God has clearly grown up a guy. He's done a work here. And there are lots of faithful men and women here who can keep entrusting the gospel ministry to other people, your elders, the godly women that are part of this church, the unbelievably a number of younger adults in this church. Robert and I, every time we come, we look around, just smile. What a blend of people, age brackets, and the younger folks here part of this church. So you're being reminded, you've been entrusted, now tag, you're it. So their absence reminds you of that. By God's grace, I'm confident this church can make this transition time just fine. Paul, Timothy, reliable, others. And then he says, hey, also, I want you to endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I told the elders yesterday, I said, you know, you do realize when you stepped in the role of an elder, you put on a target, right? You know? And it's not just the one on the back, it's the one, because people not only shoot you from the back, they'll shoot you from the front as well. You know, stepping into leadership means making yourself available and vulnerable and sometimes abusable. People say, oh, I want to be in charge around there. No, well, then you just back down. What I need you to say is, I'm ready to serve, and I know it's going to be hard at times. I think Josh said it or prayed it earlier. In Timothy, it says, if a guy aspires to the office of an overseer, it's a good desire. There's nothing wrong with desire to lead. If you say, God, I love you, and I love this church, and I love these people, I would love to help serve them. Men and women alike, all the different ways that you can serve. But that means enduring hardship. Disentangled from the world. No soldier gets entangled. Could you imagine? Our son was in the Army for 12 years, and he had some deployments. You know, Mom and Dad are very thankful he didn't have the kinds of deployments he was trained for. We always told him, we want you to be so prepared and never use a single skill you've developed. Thanks, Dad. No problem. Could you imagine if his day to go to some deployment, they look around and say, Doyle. And then 3 weeks later, he comes and says, my bad. Look, I got this side business over here. I knew you'd understand. I had some important things to take. Brian, the Army would like that if your son did that, right? Or your brother. They just love that kind of thing in their soldiers. No, there are, they start ripping at the patches and these in the bars and the stars and saying, you know, we have a secure place for you. We want to know where you are for a long time for doing such a silly thing. You don't get entangled. You've been called to this task. You don't get called away from the task of serving by getting entangled in other stuff in the world. That's not just for pastors. Have you gotten ensnared and entangled at such a level you can't serve God like you ought to? Well, then today is a great day to start disentangling, rebuking those things in your life yourself, cutting off the stuff that would trip you up. Live to please the Lord. You play according to the rules. Every now and then we'll learn of a baseball player, a football player, or an Olympian that has won a gold medal, and maybe it's weeks or months, sometimes years later they'll go, oh, we found out that there was an illegal substance in their bloodstream, and it stripped them of their medal. Someone goes from a glorious moment, the Atlanta Olympics. I forget, and maybe it's good. I forgot. It was a particular woman athlete. She was just doing so wonderful and great, making us proud. And then when the weeks later, they said, we need all those medals back. You did this illicitly. You got to compete according to God's rules. How does he want you to serve? You don't do it to your... Trust in the Lord in all your ways. Know him, not in your own strength, not in your own mind's ability. Please the Lord for the rules and but know that there's reward. The hardworking farmer should receive fruit according to his work there. But these are all, listen to this, soldiering, athletes, farmers. These are endurance sports. This is not the stuff of sprints. This is the long haul. Ministry has that. But it brings fruit. The long-haul faithful ministry of the Martins here, and the fruit. I'm forgetting the previous pastor's name. Ron, the ministry that he had. And you're part of the fruit of that as well. The fruit of the ministry here as well. The fruit of the ministry is long-haul. You want to serve strong in God's grace? What you've received, entrust to others. It didn't just come to you as a dead end. You're not a cul-de-sac, a dead sea of ministry. You're an open, flowing pipe serving other people, and you're enduring hardship because it's part of ministry. And then you're also engorging and meditating on the Word of God. Think over what I've said. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. That requires thought, meditation, mulling over. It's good sometimes to receive whole big chunks of scriptures at a time. Like I said, I listened to 2 Timothy, had the book read to me, and then I went back and listened to chapter 2 several times. But then there's times, too, you're also not just big picture, but you're just kind of, you know, not only looking at the tree, but you're looking at a branch. I think Luther said, you know, there's Bible study is looking at the whole tree, looking at a branch, looking at a limb on the branch, looking at a leaf on the limb on the branch. And looking at both sides of the leaf and trying to see what's going on there, and the top's different than the bottom, and what does it mean in the context? And mull over, meditate on, engorge yourself in the Word of God. Psalm talks about this. Who read Psalm 1? There's so much scripture flying around here. I got lost. Don't stop that in the prayer. Psalm 1, I think, Kevin, I think you read for us this morning. Yeah, meditating on the word. Joshua, know the word, live the word, do the word, and I'll be with you as you fulfill your calling. David, meditate on the word, night watches, day watches. Every king of Israel, study the word, stay sober so you can be familiar with it and bring justice and good execute good decisions for the people. And trust him for insight. Does that mean you will understand everything about the word? Good luck. There's parts of that book that God has a lot of ways of keeping me humble, and that's one of them, right? But that, does that mean you give up on learning? No, of course not. Engorge on his word. And I find this one of the more interesting things here, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ. Why in the world would Paul tell Timothy to make sure he doesn't forget Jesus Christ? I know why. I've been involved in enough ministry that somewhere I forget why I'm doing it. Brian, has that ever happened to you? You get involved and you're doing good stuff, but you forget why you're doing it. You know, there's deadlines. There's things to get in. There's tasks to take care of. Ooh, Christmas Eve's coming. We got to get kids dressed in little cute costumes. I love the story. You guys take your kids to the nursing home and do a nativity there? Brian, did you know they do that? That is so precious. They take the kids and do their practice. It's a part of a practice for the thing. That's smart, too. How much do those seniors love seeing children doing a Christmas pageant for them? But in fact, I think there's a movie out now about the best Christmas pageant ever, and that whole thing is about someone forgetting why things are getting done. It happens. So brothers and sisters, in case you forgot what this is all about, let me just say it to us again. Remember Jesus Christ. So it's a funny, to me it's a funny word. It's a tragic word because I get it. Carry. Remember why you're doing this. Jesus. Risen from the dead. That Jesus, right? Jesus, the Savior from the God. The Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, unique, one-of-a-kind Son of God. Jesus, Christ, risen from the dead, the fulfillment, the offspring of David, preached as preached in my gospel. And you got the gospel right there. What a glorious verse. So church, in the midst of all that's going on, the busyness of Christmas, the farewells that are coming, the waiting for God to provide the next lead shepherd here, remember Jesus Christ. Practice godly mnemonics. Robin and I know we are getting to this area of New York because we can never pronounce anything around here properly. I can't even pronounce Avon. Okay, I got that one. Avon. Right. Forget the Finger Lakes. Automatopoeia. What are they called? What's the one with the Caligula? What is it down there? The Catalugas? Canandaigua. Yeah. And then there's the Chile High School. That's really cool. China. Okay. We rode by a creek this morning. O-A-K-T-A. I knew I was saying it wrong again. I now take pleasure in knowing at least I can say words and wait for my friends here to correct me. Again, after a prayer request, after our fellowship time together, Robert and I are going down to one of the Finger Lakes to visit a small little budding fledgling church who maybe want to become a free church. Yeah, it's a Cayuca Lake? Cayuca Lake. I rest my case. You know what I'm saying? Caveen? And... oh, this is not Block A, this is Wyatt. A mnemonic device is something that helps you remember something. Practice godly mnemonics. Do whatever it takes to help you always keep Jesus in the middle of everything in your life. Remember Jesus Christ. Fight for focus. Don't forget the who, the why, the what of your serving. You see how easy this would have been just to kind of direct it, you know, two barrels here. Can't keep them together. Y'all like each other, right? They do. It doesn't make sense, but they do. And You see how the sermon this morning would be easy to just kind of gun it to them and give Brian a little, you know, okay, he's a pastor too. But you can see even better how this pastor passage is for all of us. I don't mean in any way to minimize the hurt, the shock of knowing God seems clearly to be calling your pastor away. That hurts. I've been in the spot of inflicting that kind of pain. There's guilt, and but there's also, if you know God has called you, God's already been stirring your heart. So I don't minimize that for you. From a distance and a bigger picture perspective, and knowing some of who your church is, God's going to walk with you through this nicely. And he's going to grow you. He's already, I'm hearing testimony how God is already maturing some of you from a shock and the emotion that came from that news. I just call on you all. Be diligent, Paul wrote, to maintain the unity of God's Spirit in the bonds of peace. And so it may not make sense of my, you know, you got a good gig going on here. Why would God disturb and stir the pot? That's often how God grows us, isn't it? Right? I've learned in this role of district superintendent that the things that have been most helpful in pastoring pastors and helping churches have not been my, quote, success stories. I look back and say, oh, they're going through that? Ooh, ouch. I remember that. Let me show you this scar and what God, how God showed himself. Which one? Oh, yeah, this one. It's the difficulties, right? Doesn't God meet, seems to kind of draw, we draw near to him and he's drawing near to us and the difficult. So I'm not in any way demeaning the difficulty this is. But brothers and sisters, by God's grace, you'll be fine. It's evident God is up to good stuff here. And if he's done because Kevin leaves, it puts a question mark over things. And that's not the case. So I feel your pain. I solicit you to hopefulness, to walk through this with Jesus. Celebrate. Release. You have a partnership that's building with a church in Connecticut. I think it'd just be really cool. You find out they have a need, and some of you go, we can send a team out there. They want to do a vacation Bible school, and they don't have enough people to kind of pull it off. How about if we maybe take a team of folks and go, oh, wait, they've got some repairs that need to be made, or there's a service project in the community that we could part. Wouldn't that be fun? By God's grace, when we moved from a church in a very similar life circumstances from Illinois to Tennessee, and it didn't make sense other than I sensed that God had already said, Carrie, you've done what you need to do here next. And we obeyed him that very difficult call. Our church in Illinois twice sent down for us a vacation Bible school team to work with our church in Tennessee to do ministry in the community and built a bond between those two churches that exist with some of them till this day. And then the Lord called us up to Pennsylvania, and there's connections three ways. I was kind of the conduit of that, but at the end of the day, they go, Carrie, could you get out of the way so we can connect properly? Wouldn't that be fun? You guys are, if we were commissioning a missionary, you'd be thrilled. You're getting commissioned a pastor, and a good one, a very good pastor. So what are some of your God-given duties and responsibilities? Are you doing them? Keep doing them. Who's your spiritual parent? Who are you spiritually parenting? Are you reliable? Are you trusting and trustworthy? Trusting his grace? Are you just at the other level? Like if you're new to the gospel and all, that's fine. But if you've been hanging out in kind of the other realm for decades, that's sin. There's no place for that. You need to, quote, move up in the ranks to being the reliable one. In anything, find an elder and say, I need to start serving. I've been sitting too long. Can I help with this? Can I help with that? I've noticed this needs to be done. Consider it done. I'm going to do it. That needs to be fixed. This needs to be painted. I'm going to do it. Become faithful. Are you entangled? Hebrews says, to run the race not weighted down and not with stuff wrapped around your feet. Could you imagine you go, I'm going to go run a 5K with a 40-pound backpack? Actually, I got one of my pastors, Kevin Kirk Albrecht, who does rucking. He's insane. He'll do all night in Pittsburgh with these folks, carrying logs and water bottles and 50 pounds and each other. And it's like, okay, so let's lay aside the extreme cases. Because he messes up my illustration. If I'm going to go run a 5K, I've got enough extra weight. Let's leave it at that. I need to lay aside all the stuff that's encumbering me. And if I'm, you know, put baling wire between your feet and go, ready. So extra stuff in life will weigh you down. Sin will trip you up. What do you need to deal with today? How does the hope of reward help you plod on? A farmer will receive crops. God will reward your faithfulness. Don't get entangled in civilian affairs. Compete according to the rules. Stay faithful and trust God for fruit. And do you remember Jesus Christ? Let's pray. I'm thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be with this church at such a significant, tender moment. And I pray that by your Spirit, through this, your word, they would even be stronger in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Confident in you to move forward together for your goodwill in your good time. Help us to entrust what you've already entrusted us to others. Help us to endure hardship. Engorging, feeding on your word, and in all things remembering Jesus Christ. To him be the glory for now and forever. And God's people said, amen.